Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maximum cogs, mechanical elements. In the past, we talked about trucks, full gear. We're talking about pro wrestling. It has nothing to do with any of those things. If there were curtains, there might be some cogs in the fly assembly for the audio equipment and the stage rigging. But yeah, I don't know. It's not a lot to do with pro wrestling vis-a-vis gears.
I mean, this whole thing started because it was Adam Page talking about going full gear years ago, right? That's how it started.
Horses don't have gears, Joel.
They do. They do.
You just his tractor does. His riding mower does. There we go.
That's an old-ass tractor, if that's the case. What are we doing here?
I don't know. Full goo?
Full goo.
We went full goo. My brain is going full goo right now, I tell you what.
Doing a 10 a.m. start time on a Sunday was probably not the best idea, but here we are.
I got my coffee. I'm going to start off by saying, yo, New Jersey trash.
Oh, buddy, I could tell you stories.
Like, what is wrong with New Jersey? I thought it was just like a stereotype, but they actually do seem like trash.
There was a lot going on last night. We're going to talk about it. We got plenty to talk about wrestling-wise. A full gear, a lot of chatter coming out of that. We've got stuff about WWE. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're not going to talk about Impact because Tim wants to watch Impact but can't commit the time. I'm sorry, friends. I'm just trying to be linear for my last show.
To be totally fair, I barely committed the time to WWE this week.
So did I. It's great. Awesome. I was too busy unpacking. Yeah, it's mostly full gear talk. That's fine.
Hey, SmackDown a little.
Yeah, we'll talk about SmackDown a bit. So let's leave a thumbs up on the video, hey? While we're hanging out here on YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Maybe you're watching us on another platform like Facebook. Go ahead and leave that the thumbs up or the heart emoji.
Hi, Grandma.
There you go. Hey, listen, if you're watching, hi. Hello. It's good to see you. Chat, hello. It's good to see you. Leave us a comment if you're watching after the fact here at youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. That gets your friends finding us a little easier because of that whole magical system that YouTube has that I can't say the word of that starts with an A. And you can subscribe to us here at FightfulOverbooked. Okay. And while you're here, if you want to financially support us, we have our super chats. Go ahead, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. Hit that little button with the dollar sign. Any amount could question or statement read on the air, but we also interact with the chat. So let's just be nice. If you want to support us, we always appreciate it. And we have our Discord. Twitter is burning. Join our Discord instead. Is our Discord still a thing, Tim?
I haven't been on Discord lately since the new Call of Duty came out. But I haven't popped into our Discord in a little bit. I should probably do that.
You just upset Mod Mike so much because he does so much work in that thing.
It's a thing of beauty. I'm so busy. I'm so busy.
Are you too busy to watch the professional wrestling? It really is too early to do this show. Holy shit. We made a big mistake.
Okay, I got to go film the other half of the music video I was filming last week right after this. So it works.
That's right. I heard about that. That music video.
Yeah. It's an evil bunny.
What, an evil bunny? Are we doing the white rabbit? Is somebody Uncle Howdy?
It is a white rabbit. You know what? I guess some things just seep into your brain and it ends up kind of being a little serendipitous. Anyway, if anyone's in Toronto, I know at least one or two of you are. You got a show December 2nd, supermarket. Come check it out.
It's not at your local supermarket. It is at a venue
known as supermarket. That is fun fact. Hell.
I once opened for the Tragically Hip at that supermarket venue.
That sounds awesome.
Yes, I miss the Tragically Hip. Anyway,
yeah.
Love you, Gord Downie. Love you every day. Let's talk about full gear before people are just like, oh, God, they spend
what the hell is going on?
Oh, God, they hate music. They hate wrestling.
I hate some music. We'll get to that later.
We can get to that now. So All Atlantic Championship is going to be on the line on Wednesday. Looking forward to Hager and Orange Cassidy. But first, we had to go through full gear and the 0 hour. What do you think of the opening match? They have the Factory versus Orange Cassidy, best friends, Rocky Romero, and Evil Danhausen.
Didn't watch it. Was it good? I watched Eddie Kingston versus that Japanese man whose name escapes me.
Jun Akiyama.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. So that having Danhausen show up and be evil was weird to me, not for any bad reason. They've been kind of teasing it for a little bit, and then they decided now that they wanted to go for it. That being said, it was a different evil Danhausen than I've ever seen before, because the old evil Danhausen was like super duper evil. This was different. It's fresh. We'll see what they do with it. But after later on in the night, he was just back to regular Dan.
Yeah, that's what confuses me. So you're talking about this, and then like the one when I saw him in the backstage with Hager and Jericho, it was fine. He was normal Danhausen, just being a weird background ghoul
wearing a giant oversized suit, of course.
Yeah.
David Bernhausen. That's right. Once in a lifetime.
Back to music. Can't escape it.
That's right. Okay, fine. You know what? And Ricky Starks beating Brian Cage, of course. That's just what was going to happen. Hey, I told you guys weeks ago that it was going to be Ricky Starks just beating all the big men. And then you have, what's his name? You had All Ego Ethan Page just cheating his way to the top.
Right to the tap.
That's the story. I'm fine with it. It's a good story to tell.
It is a good story.
And then we saw Jun Akiyama take on Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston gets a big, big win. I really enjoyed this match.
Me too.
And you know what I love even more than that, Tim? This match was built with no time. It was still the most like interesting match on the card. And it had the most just substance to it.
It was mostly like Eddie Kingston's face just like tell the whole story like in the match, because I don't even know this guy's name. I don't know any of his background, but commentary did a good job. Eddie Kingston did a good job in making me actually give a crap a little bit about it, because like without that, like I don't know, it's just people shouting words at me about people I've never heard of. But like it worked out really well because Eddie Kingston helped sell it. I believed that this meant a lot to him.
His post-show promo was both hilarious and so helpful at the same time. Yeah. He just grabs the mic and is like, they told me I got, how long do I have? It says it's 7:52. How long do I have? And
2 minutes? Because they got to hype up. Yeah, okay.
So he does the hype up. Yeah. I want to know who told Bryce or whoever the referee was, who told him, like, you go ahead, you do the hype package. And so you got, you know, Eddie Kingston being like, if you don't order the pay-per-view, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to slap you around. And I'm just like, shit, he might. I got to go fight TV right now.
Well, and then Excalibur is just like, why are we? I guess we're doing the card now.
he was really not used to it, because he would normally be doing it at like 7:59:59, and he would just be running down the card. Yeah. Super duper speed. Instead, he had a little bit of help, and I think he was just not ready for it, but he appreciated what Eddie Kingston did.
Yeah.
He's sorry, Excalibur. It was good. I vacillate when it comes to Eddie Kingston in terms of like, I know he's beloved, and I know that people want to see him in these spots where he, you know, can go for the world title, he can become a champion, so on and so forth. But at the same time, I'm just like, I don't think Tony sees it that way. Yeah. I think Tony just sees him as like a perennial fan favorite who can do no wrong. Like kind of like Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, exactly. Orange
Cassidy's gimmick used to be big match, lose.
Yep.
Oh, what do you think of Eddie Kingston?
I loved it. Like, I really enjoyed it. I thought the match was solid. Like, it played to Eddie's strengths. I don't really see Eddie as like a world title guy. I see him as a tremendous on the mic support guy who can put on good matches, but his moveset's kind of limited. So I don't want to watch a 30-minute Eddie Kingston match. I really don't. Like, and the ones that I have, they've been okay, but they aren't.
Every time they bring in Japanese talent, just feed them to Eddie.
Yeah, well, Eddie's like, I'm in. A buddy of mine texted me. He's like, so Eddie's just always angry at these Japanese men, I guess.
Actually, don't hate that. What's your gimmick? Fine. What's your gimmick, kid? I'm angry at the Japanese.
Beat up Japanese people.
I'm always angry at the Japanese. Oh, okay.
It's not great.
Can you make it sound a little less racist? I'm only angry with Japanese wrestlers. Oh, okay. That's fine. All right. Jungle Boy Jack Perry and Luchasaurus open up in the steel cage match. Really good match. I had lots of fun. The finish kind of fell a little flat just because of some moves, but
I thought it looked okay. I don't know what fell out of Luchasaurus's mouth during the snare drag.
I'm going to hope it was his mouth guard if he wears one.
Yeah, I hope it was a mouth guard because it was just this like blackish looking plop that I couldn't on replay. I couldn't make out what it was. but that elbow drop was like so weird, but good, like in a way, because he did it right. He came down and he like popped right into him. And then he kind of like hovered for a second. I guess his arm kept him aloft. Just really powerful shoulders. And then the table just kind of went, which didn't help them, unfortunately.
At least it wasn't like a very obviously pre-cut table. Like,
no, yeah, not like
it had the bend in it, but it wasn't like the crown jewel.
It wasn't the same. Yeah. And then, yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought the finish worked. The elbow drop was like beautiful, like picture perfect. And then the table just didn't quite break as I thought would have looked the most interesting, but the snare trap was fine. It wasn't in there super tight, but what wrestling choke is these days?
It was better than Tommy Dreamer's elbow flop last week on Impact. Tell you that much.
Mm.
It worked. And plus, Tommy ain't going to the top of anything.
No.
I'm not going to make that joke. I'm not close enough with him. I can't make the jokes. But no, I enjoyed it. I'm waiting until they clear Christian Cage so that they can do Jungle Jack Perry versus a Jungle Boy. What are they calling him now?
They're transitioning him to Jack Perry, which is the right move. They're doing the slow work to get him from Jungle Boy to Jack Perry, which will actually give him some longevity Jungle Jack. No. I think they're phasing it out. I think slowly they will transition to him just being Jack Perry.
Thank God his name is not Jim Perry, because Jungle Jim would have been a Jungle very Jim, awkward yeah. time. look at me, I'm Jungle Jim Perry. I have a ring in my backyard. I eat bugs, not anymore. Sorry, he talked about that in the post-show scrum. He's just like, someone asked him about the development of his character, and he was kind of like, well, you know, they used to have me like go into the back and eating bugs and da da da. I was like, I think I'm past that. And I'm like, I think you were past that when you were 9, but here we are.
Yeah.
Trios Championship. So the Elite come back, carry on my wayward son. Big fan of having them get Kansas.
That was so good. It was such an epic entrance. Very happy.
Like, it's such an epic song. I love that tune.
And I didn't know there was rumblings of something like this. I've been off of Twitter because it has been hot dog shit. Yes. My God, that was an awesome thing. I was like, oh, Kansas, that's so corny in them, because of course they're basic as hell. But like, it's still fun and like great tune. It's just, I've heard it a bajillion times, but it really worked in this moment.
Times. Yeah. I played it 100 times. It's a good tune though. I mean, it's fun.
You have to do those harmonies. That would have been brutal.
Yes.
It's difficult.
I had the high ones because I have the voice of an angel. Not so much. I do have a voice, but anyway, the point is, good match, a lot of fun.
Crazy. So many spots, all the spots. Very fun.
Now we got to do a best of 7. They announced that later on the show. I saw a lot of
what? I'm sorry, reaction. What?
Oh, you didn't see that?
7?
Now
televised, 7 all series, televised?
All on Dynamite.
Ooh, he really shouldn't have used that hammer. Regretting that now, I bet.
So I'm okay with, oh yeah, and Kansas did tweet about them using the song, which I thought was cool.
I emoji.
Yes.
I'm surprised Kansas is still around and able to use social media.
I mean, we all know how that works.
Exactly.
We all know how this works. But anyway.
Yeah, their handlers did a good job responding.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. It works that way. Okay, so yeah, they're going to do best of 7. I saw mixed reactions, and rightfully so. At the first moment I saw it, I was like, oh shit, that's a lot of times to redo that match. They now have to find different ways to tell the story.
Yeah.
And someone on Twitter, when I mentioned, you know, this is going best of 7, was just like, oh God, that sounds like shit. And I was like, well, no, there have been good best of 7 series. Like,
so many.
Benoit and Booker T in WCW had an excellent breakthrough best of 7 series. You had the Sheamus and Cesaro series that formed the bar was really good. Like the seventh match itself was a big standout match. There was honestly the Hardys and Edge and Christian in 1999 when they did the Terry Invitational tournament. That was the best of five, but every match was better than the last one. There's an opportunity here. You've got six of the best wrestlers out there. They've got to find ways to keep it fresh. And I think there's a larger story at play with the turning of Death Triangle.
Yeah.
Right. You had Phoenix use the hammer this time around, and now he's maybe coming around to the idea of cheating to win. So I'm interested to see if this is going to be the formation of a heel Death Triangle or a split of Death Triangle once they're like, ah, this stupid hammer thing is splitting us apart.
Yeah, I would prefer to see Death Triangle remain a thing and stay as heels, considering they just introduced these trios titles and they will need trios to continue to compete for them, even like people in the background doing trios matches rather than just like assembling them as necessary. The best of seven, I feel like, okay, you got an opportunity to fire at least two of them up in like two quick matches, like have like two matches that last no time at all and someone gets a dastardly win. And then, yeah, work through it. I'm worried because it's like the Swerve in Our Glory acclaimed thing where like the first match is amazing. And then what do you do? Like, cause what do you do? They did literally like everything they could think of last night. So I'm curious to see how they evolve it. I'm not put off. Seven seems ambitious, but
we'll and see. I don't think it's necessarily going to go seven. I think maybe it'll go five or six. I feel like by Holiday Bash or New Year's Smash. By the way, this is your favorite time of the year because every other Dynamite is like a themed Dynamite.
Oh God, why? Just for the hell of it?
Like, yeah, because this is the season. You've got what is it? This week is the Thanksgiving one, and then winter is coming, and then there's the Holiday Bash, and then there's New Year's Smash. And then there's some other stuff. I don't know. You got a good solid month of themed Dynamite shows.
Boy.
There's going to be a lot to do. They're saving. They're saving stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. They're going to start using those little tips and tricks, which I'll appreciate. But again, I'm in it more for the storytelling than the moves you do or do not use.
Yeah, I've seen them do all those moves, so I don't care. Like,
are you trying to say they should have a whole new moveset?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. The in-ring can get pretty stale for me pretty quick because like,
I want to see Kenny Omega do an RKO. Sorry.
Sure. I don't care. Like, I'd just rather it have a narrative. And hopefully, I don't want to see Death Triangle break apart over this because I personally think that concept is boring. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't care if Phoenix has hang-ups about using a hammer. I never really understood how Pac could be a face and a bastard. It was very confusing. I would prefer if they just chose something.
Well, he's the only one who is the bastard, the heel of the team right now.
Yeah, exactly, which is good. Like, that part is compelling. Now I'm curious where they're going to go with it, if it is standard fare. I don't know. Fine. If Pac ends up having to fight both Penta and Phoenix, like in a like feud, fine. But if it's going to be one versus the other, like, I don't know. Yeah, 2-on-1 with Pac on top in the end.
Do you imagine?
Well, that's how they run Phoenix will probably get injured along the way.
Oh dear, not again. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what this best of seven goes. I don't think it'll go seven. If it does, they got to have a lot of story to tell because it can be a bit daunting. Let's move on. TBS Championship, Rose versus Cargill. I enjoyed a lot of this match. I think this was Jade's best match to date. I know people were like, she's being carried by Nyla Rose. Well, guess what? That's pro wrestling. Someone's always a leader and someone's always a follower.
Yeah, I'm less about the carrying as like, one, the entrances were fire.
You could have trashed everything else. The entrances were one.
Yeah, the match was okay. I didn't mind it. It seemed like Jade's aesthetic choices caused her some difficulties because that was very obvious to me throughout the match. It was just constantly tugging on her gear and it was just a little bit distracting.
The old Ronda Rousey.
It's like, I don't know, maybe just wear something else. Be mindful of this next time. Like, this is an impediment to your progress. But the match itself was fine. The cosplay looked good. Chitara is strange to me as a, it's not something I don't get why people find Thundercats cool.
Because like, they're go whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, I don't know. But like Thundercats is like a nostalgia thing, but it's like so silly and for children that it's weird to see adults as it for me.
I mean, it's that thing where it's everybody's nostalgia kick, right? And she mentioned, I think, in an interview that she wants to play Storm, like she always mentions. Which I think she mentioned something about wanting to be a part of the Thundercats reboot.
I don't want to see that. It's not for me. Not for me. Other people want to see weird enthonged cats. Go for it.
Years ago, I was told, you know, Hollywood is putting the kibosh on like original ideas, and they're mostly going with reboots and nostalgia because guess what? It always makes money. And I've ever since then, I'm just like, well, this sucks. I get it, but it's garbage. That being said, if she gets a gig out of that, out of dressing like Chitara, I'm all for it. Why not?
I don't see Jay Cargill as acting very well, but we'll see.
I don't know. I hear crossover star a lot.
Oh, in the fitness world, sure.
I don't know what she's crossing over to, buddy. I just keep hearing crossover star, crossover appeal. Everyone has fitness. Crossover appeal. It's her. It's Swerve. It's, I don't know, it's Sasha Banks. Ah, everyone's got crossover appeal.
Swerve got served earlier with that little acclaimed rap. It's like, how can you be a rapper if you don't rap, you know?
Like, he does rap, though. He just doesn't rap like Max.
When does he rap? I've never heard him rap.
You got to go on Spotify and find
his stuff.
I'm not
going to do that. I don't
mess
care.
Because there are actual rappers.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Ring of Honor World Championship. There's a fatal four-way. Chris Jericho defeats everybody. He's got Sammy Guevara, Claudio Castagnoli, and Danielson. Anyway, this match was a lot more fun than it had any reason to be. But the finish was hilarious to me, watching Jericho basically YOLO himself at Claudio to hit the Judas effect.
Yeah.
And then they're like, he got Sammy with him. I'm just like, I don't think that was the plan, but good cover. Fun match. I enjoyed it. They did a whole lot of like teasing and dissension, and everyone fights each other just because. I really love the match. I didn't care about Jericho getting the win. I know what his tour schedule looks like for the next little bit. So I kind of have my theories about when he's going to drop that title. But him as Ring of Honor champion, it's fine. He's never
going to. Oh, see, okay. I have heard Swerve rap, but it's pro wrestling rap, so it's not real. Because it's not.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
It's very bad. The Acclaimed aren't rappers to me because they rap over the same beat every single week. It's not good. It's funny. It's a comedic bit, but it's.
They're beat poets.
Sure. Yeah, closer to that than they are. Anyway.
So the match, the Ring of Honor World Championship match.
They did all of the staples. Clearly, Blackpool Combat Club is a team full of dipshits. They're very bad at strategy. They just likes to fight.
No, that's the Brawling Brutes.
Sorry. They're the same. Yeah, I don't know. It was funny because they did the Claudio Brian like handshake, and then commentary made such a meal out of the wrist control thing, and then they just do the European uppercuts.
God bless Ian Riccoboni. He loves his wrestling, and I love him. It's just sometimes like the reach that has to come from these commentators just to make it make sense is
just
the best.
Well, and you know what helps with that? A little bit of forethought and planning, a little bit of discussion backstage, but I guess not. Too we much just call it in the ring. That's all we do.
Hey, that sounds familiar. It's on the thing. I don't put it in the title of the show anymore, but it's on the logos.
It's fine. It's all good.
So that was the Ring of Honor title. They're going to do Jericho versus Tomohiro Ishii, and I'm sure Eddie Kingston's sitting in the back being like, why can't I fight
Let
him?
Let me fight that Japanese guy!
What do you think, Jericho versus Ishii? Ishii is a former Ring of Honor television champion, if I recall correctly.
Oh, we're cheating it still.
Yeah, we're still cheating. Because Christopher Daniels is right there. I'm looking at you, CD. Come on, Doc. Where's your title match versus Jericho?
It's your ass. Christopher
Daniels is 57,000-year-old Christopher Daniels going to take the Ring of Honor World Championship from Christopher Jericho? Is that what we're doing?
Is it meaningful if he does that? I never watched Ring of Honor.
I think I'm okay with it if he does.
Why don't we get the one who can't talk, who talks gibberish?
Delirious. He was on the Impact tapings last night, so I don't think we'll be seeing him.
Oh, no. Okay. Know him. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know anything else about Ring of Honor. CM Punk, former Ring of Honor champion, I assume.
There was a really funny subsection of Twitter who, after the main event, was just like, Regal's just doing this all so he can bring back Punk, and it's going to be Regal and Punk versus MJF, or like, not Regal, Regal's going to walk Punk out. And I'm just like,
Punk is gone, yo.
Yeah,
he is gone. You're overthinking this.
I love it. Okay, fine. Ishii and Jericho is going to be good. It's just going to be another match where Jericho wins and then beats up someone for Ring of Honor. Who is he going to beat up? That's my question. Who can Jericho beat up after he beat up the entire crew last time? Caprice Coleman. You're next, buddy.
Has he not done it yet? I thought he already
Caprice
did
hasn't gone down yet. No, right, he's gotten everybody else, so I think it's time for Caprice
Coleman. Get in line.
Yep. Or they finally set up the damn Christopher Daniels match that I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Family Guy. You know that episode of Family Guy where the opening is them watching Maude and they just keep doing and I've posted this before. This is the Maude thing for me.
Yeah.
Nigel McGuinness is not coming. He is.
It's similar to like the Too Many Cooks where there's just always somebody else. And it's like, if you've opened it up to every title, like it's just never going to end.
Revolving door. You know what you do? When we get to the TNT Championship match, I'll tell you what you do. And it involves Mimosa Joe. But first, we got to talk about Dr. Britt Baker, dental medical degree versus Saraya. Don't call her Saraya.
And also did.
Eddie Kingston also called
it. And Taz, who screwed it up originally, continues to be the one to correct everyone. It's very funny.
It's Sarayer.
Sarayer.
We're just having a banner day against Brooklyners and New Yorkers.
Well, I don't know. Don't be so weird.
They were in New Jersey. It was weird enough. Yeah. What'd you think? Saraya's first match in 5 years.
She looked better than Punk did in his first match back.
I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm like a fucking children. Sorry, that's 6 months from now. My bad.
Oh, man. So this is the first time I actually got to hear the lyrics to that stupid walkout song.
Oh, God. I hate
that. That is the most on-the-nose, dumb garbage I've ever heard. Anyway, she wrestled okay. Her finisher sucks. Is that her finisher?
The nightcap or the white?
She hugs them like a baby and then she falls backwards.
That's the
like Rampage. A baby. She's joking.
I think that's the Rampage, and now she calls it the nightcap. She had a whole bunch of like the Page Turner, and then they called it the Rampage. And
Page Turner taken. Just say it.
Well, no, she can't call it the Page Turner anymore because she's not Page. So she calls it the nightcap because her last name is Knight with Knight.
Oh, I thought it was because she was a drunk or something.
That was my first thing. And I was like, I don't think she drinks anymore. So that's a weird thing to say. Anyway. Good match.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it wasn't horrible.
For what it was.
Like, it was good. Like, and they gave it enough time, but not, like, again, more time than Punk's first match because he did he eased back into it only to throw it in the toilet.
Saraya wasn't fighting someone who literally launches themselves under the bottom rope at each other's bodies
for
fun. He's in a match later on tonight, or last night. Either way, Saraya's here. I don't know really what they're going to use.
Championships. That's what was shouted after she won.
JR. Holy shit. Just being like, oh, she's got to go for the championships now. And I'm like, does she?
Does she? Is that the right move? Oh, does you don't know move? How to do this anymore. I forgot.
Oh, my God. I get the emphasis trying to be made on going for titles. I get it. And that's important.
Yeah, of course.
But holy shit, JR. Give it a rest. Just chill out for a minute.
Yeah.
Saraya just got here. I don't think I need her in a title match. Not yet.
No.
Let her win the title at All Out next year. Let her go to the scrum with her muffins, and then we'll go from there. How's that?
Oh, man.
Everybody wants to cancel me. TNT Championship match, Wardlow versus Mimosa Joe, Samosa Joe, Ragosa Joe, our favorite Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Everyone was under the impression that Hobbs was going to win here. I
really
didn't think so.
Okay. What would have been wrong with Wardlow retaining?
And I would have been fine with that. My sentiment was that Hobbs and Wardlow would have had a one-on-one match at Revolution pay-per-view because they're going to be in Hobbs's home area, right? They're going to be San Francisco. That would have been fine for me. And that would have been Hobbs's crowning moment. At the same time, Hobbs isn't a face right now, so him winning on home soil would have felt a little dicey.
I don't know. They seem okay with... Anyway, it's a mess.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
People.
Mimosa Joe wins. Has two titles now. He's the king of television.
Finally. Yeah, I don't mind how it happened. It's fine that Hobbs got choked. But like,
we all need to be choked sometimes, Sam.
Why does Samoa Joe have two titles? There are too many titles.
Yeah, listen, the Ring of Honor
is a good match. And it's just like, yeah, I'm so tired of the Ring of Honor crap. It's like interfering with what feels like the start of an upswing. AEW is starting to feel good again to me. WWE is starting to recede a little for me. Like, I think we might be going back towards the other way in the old tug of war. But we got to deal with this Ring of Honor stuff because it's making a mess of things, in my opinion. Like, there are too many belts. Samoa Joe doesn't need two. I don't get this decision.
You're right. He needs 20.
Sure. At least that's more interesting than two at this point.
Send him to Impact. Have him win all the titles.
Yeah.
X Division champion Samoa Joe.
Just call him the Belt Hoover Samoa Joe.
The Belt Hoover. He's not the belt collector. He's the Belt Hoover.
Yeah, exactly. Sucks him right up.
You're trying to say he's fat?
yeah, like Kirby.
I enjoyed the match. It was just one of those big hoss fights. It didn't overstay its welcome. It was just like in, out, beat the shit out of each other, and Mimosa Joe gets the win.
Yeah, it was very good. Simple. Enjoyed it. Did its part.
I don't want them to combine the TNT titles or the ROH TV title.
That's what I was worried about. Because like when I saw it happening, I was like, uh-oh, what's happening here?
Yeah, I just, I'm wondering what they're going to do with that. I think I'd rather just have him drop the Ring of Honor World Television Championship.
Yeah.
And then have whoever that is be a Ring of Honor person and have Joe move on to weekly TV.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be better. Like, I just, we got to sort out the Ring of Honor thing. The only thing I would miss from Ring of Honor is Ian Riccaboni, who I find.
Well, Ian's going to be there. The whole point is that Ian and Caprice are going
to
be back.
Oh, no, I know that.
Oh, you mean I will probably not be.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
We will see, but maybe I'll watch that instead of Rampage.
So, like, I'm going to bring this up because Graham is, like, half joking, but, like, I do want to be serious. Like, Ring of Honor, I wish Ring of Honor was a tab on a shitty app at this point. And like, I kind of do too. And like, yeah, that goes back to the CM Punk scrum right after Tony had bought Ring of Honor. And Punk was all elated that Ring of Honor was under Tony Khan's hands. I'm sure he loves that still. But the point being, Ring of Honor is still nowhere. And last night,
like, this when is asked silly.
About it, Tony Khan was just like, I don't want to put it on an app. He basically said, I don't want to put it on an app. I want a TV deal. And I was sitting there like, why?
Get one done then. Like, you have access to so much money and there's no excuse.
Like, your parent company has a trillion options for you. I get that you want the best possible one, but like, sometimes you got to go on Discovery America or Destination America.
Discovery Plus has a streaming network that no one wants right now. Add some value there. Like,
sometimes you got to do a show on Pop TV for a few months just to add value to your product. Sometimes you got to be on the TV Guide channel. Just do it. Your investment will not be lost. It'd be nice to do something different. Sting and Darby Allin. Speaking of something different. Take on Jay Lethal and
they had Satnam Singh do things. That was good to see. Some of them were good.
Big fan of Satnam Sting. Goes for the what do you call it? The Sting Bomb? No, the Sting, the Singer Splash.
Jesus.
Oh God. No, this match was fine. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a walking brawl. It was different, yeah. You know, like it. I liked how everything had its own like kind of spot and purpose on this show. Like it really felt like they ran the gamut of like what pro wrestling can be, and it was fun. I really liked that this had its own little thing. It was the let's fight all around the arena match. Yeah. All the crazy derby spots were in there. Sting nearly landing on his forehead again, thanks to Satnam Singh.
Like, what? That is the Sting way now. Whenever he does that dive, he does it head first.
He just like, he really like goes into it. And it's like, man, Satnam Singh is not that. Like, you're a bigger guy than Darby, and you can't just chuck yourself at him and trust. Like, you can't even do a choke slam. What are you doing?
Like, lead with your torso, Sting. Lead with your torso.
Give him something to grab at least, rather than your like narrow old man hips.
Oh no, not the narrow old man hips. What are we doing? What are we doing? In the end, the coffin drop mixed with the scorpion death drop was fantastic. I loved it.
It's very good.
That's the way you get a big man down. You have to have the double team, and it's the two guys who have to like work together in tandem just to take out the giant. I loved that. Other than that, match was the match. What do you do next? Jeff Jarrett has got to go, right? Like, not go, but like,
I don't know.
Fade away for a while.
Why did this happen? Like,
because you got to give Jeff Jarrett a payday before he starts booking you towns.
Oh my God.
I'm a fan of Jeff Jarrett's back, what he's going to be doing in the background, and he's going to be doing backstage. I'm a big fan of that. I think that Jarrett is going to book them new territories and new cities that they haven't thought of, haven't had access to, had a chance to pay attention to. Him and Raffi Morphy, who do the guys who do the live events and the bookings, they're going to open up some new doors. And I'm a big fan of that. It just needs to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't need Jeff Jarrett on my screen every week.
I don't know. He came to tear things down or whatever.
He's going to tear it down by having, you know, live events at baseball stadiums in the middle of winter.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, they changed the women's interim championship last night. Jamie Hayter is your new interim women's champion, defeating Toni Storm. I loved the match. I hated the overbooking.
Yep. Did not need... Okay, like, here's the thing. Now what? What's going to happen probably is Jamie Hayter, Britt's going to be like, and they'll do it real quick on one of these holiday themed shows. Probably separate Jamie Hayter from her crew, as they should, because she's too over. And like, it made a mess crowd wise last night, because like, this keeps happening where the heel gets like so over. And then it's just so weird to watch these fans like, it just takes me out of it, because like there's no like it that destroys the story entirely. Like, I'm okay if you're like quietly cheering for the heel, but in the arena, like, it really just gets kind of corny to me, where everyone loves the bad person, and it's just like, okay, we're not even trying to tell a story. Like, and it's like, well, okay, I thought everyone loved Toni Storm. What happened to that?
They love Jamie Hayter more.
Exactly. It's just this weird balancing act. And it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe Toni Storm needs more of a personality or whatever. But like, now this is better. Like, I'm glad Jamie Hayter has the title. She's deserving of it. I think she's one of the most compelling wrestlers on AEW television. Certainly more interesting to me than Toni Storm. But where do we go from here? Clearly, she has to be a face. Please make her a face. Like, don't do this.
So a few things. Toni definitely carried the women's division during a time when like they were still trying to build it and rebuild it. And I appreciate that. She was almost every Dynamite with that title, and that was really good stuff. I agree with you, the whole Jamie Hayter suddenly getting cheered by everybody. I mean, she was always cheered. Suddenly she was more cheered than Toni Storm.
Yeah, and which that felt weird. It's just so strange to me, because like it would have been fine if it was like a divided house even, but it was just like,
also if it had just been more organic, the turn for Hayter, it kind of just seemed like we were
part of the narrative at least, rather
what I'm saying. It was like Britt and Jamie are still besties, even though they had the tease of the split and then they got back together. Like, and what are they going to do now? They're going to go back to teasing the splits.
Yeah, they saw this happening and they didn't call the audible, as you will.
Like, what I don't love is the fact that this all comes to a head with Thunder Rosa. Yeah. And who was Thunder Rosa feuding with before she was injured and had to go?
Tony Storm.
Tony Storm, Britt Baker. Now you got Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter was always part of the Britt Baker group, was always, you know, with Rebel and all that stuff. So it's still a lot of the same. I don't understand the idea that people had enough of Tony Storm. I don't think people had enough of Tony Storm at all, quite frankly, because she was still getting cheered. I think part of the problem was that she was kind of shoved to the side when Saraya showed up. And this isn't me shitting on Saraya, because people know how I feel about Saraya as a human being. I just think that, like, shiny new toy came in and suddenly it was, we got to give her Britt. And Britt is the leader of that trio.
Yeah, I think that's where everyone is. Like, this shiny new toy crap is like constant. Like, everyone has such a short attention span. Like, people are still whining about Roman's title reign. And I was like, I think it's been pretty consistently interesting. Like, there was a couple of lulls, as there would be over this length of time. But like, with Tony, she hasn't even how long has she held that belt? Like, a few months? Like,
Tony held it since All Out, didn't she?
Yeah, which is, you know, one pay per view,
or maybe just before that. Maybe, like, it was Forbidden Door.
Either way, like, it hasn't been super duper long. Like, if you don't, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what people want out of a wrestling program anymore, because like, someone has to hold the title for a while, and you're going to see them wrestle every week, ideally as part of a story. Like, it would be better if the stories were more captivating, I think, is the problem. Like, we're just seeing the same matches, so they're tired of seeing the same matchups or the same move set, because there's no story to keep it interesting. Like, because again, once you've seen the moves, you've seen the moves, and like, there's some slight variation. But
there's another side to it, and that's the idea of the interim championship in the past with AEW always sticking with the champion who held it until the actual champion came back. And so I think this was the first time where they blinked and said, let's do something different.
Well, they did. And they did that a bit. Like, I liked having the Elite lose last night, for instance. Like, I thought that was really good to have them have this big entrance and then lose. Like, I thought that was the right call. Like, you know, so like, I don't mind them changing it up. I'm fine with Hayter taking this interim belt. I just wish they would have kiboshed the interim thing, because it doesn't, like, when there's no timeline, as far as I know.
Tony was asked about that. So these were the other two things I wanted to get to. Tony was asked about the whole, when does the interim belt just become a regular belt and not the actual championship? And he basically said, I'm giving Thunder Rosa as much time as she needs because of her injury, which I guess historically that's what he's done with other champions, right? Cody had COVID for a week, so they crowned a champion. That was whatever, not important now. But the point is, he had Mox, right, with the CM Punk injury, and then Mox and all that stuff. The way that went down was also, you know, Punk was out for 3-4 weeks. And was he 3-4 weeks or 3-4 months? Holy shit.
It was months.
It was months. Because he hurt himself after Double or Nothing, stage diving.
Yeah.
And then after Double or Nothing, okay. So it was a few months. This time around, they decided to blink and they decided to do something different. But it's all staying within the same camp of the Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa story, right?
Yeah, so it's hard to know where it's going to go then, just because this looming specter of Thunder Rosa is there.
And on the topic of Thunder Rosa, not Thunder Rosa, but Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker, I had to remember names again. She was asked, you know, do you want to face her? And Jamie Hayter was like, yeah, anytime, anywhere. You know, I'll face Britt Baker. We've had matches before, but never on a grand stage. Yeah. So they're going to start planting seeds for that match. I think maybe they'll do a respect match and it'll turn into somebody turning on somebody.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what I think. It'll be like, Britt will ask, hey, so I'm your friend. Give me the first shot. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. Why not? And then, yeah, it'll get heated in the moment.
But you know who the real winner is going to be out of that? Rebel. She's suddenly going to become the TBS champion. She's going to end the 42-0 Jade Cargill.
No.
Become TBS champion. She's going to be like, I want both belts.
Okay. So I see her just being a puppy stuck in between two owners, you know, and they're both just going to call to her.
Come here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's
where World Tag Team Championships, the Acclaimed beat Swerve and Our Glory. So it's the beginning of the end for Swerve and Our Glory. Keith Lee walks out on Swerve.
Again.
Match was fine. It was just, it was, you kind of saw it coming if you had been paying attention. And I guess, listen, people were into it. They were into the split. They were into Keith Lee leaving. The Acclaim looked good. Swerve looks like a piece of shit, which is great. Like as a character, I'm all for it. You know, the match was what it was.
I like the build to this one quite a bit. Like that rap was funny as hell. The music video with the budget Swerve and Lee.
Yes. Shout out to Will Washington, who then called out in the press conference, called out the Acclaim. We're just like, he's like, what's up? That was his actual. He's like, he loads up the entire question, just front loads it with like, you know, you had your rap thing on Dynamite this past week. What's up?
That's very good. Yeah, it was excellent. This is a good build. One small touch, like I liked, was the barricade spot where they had it leaning against the ring.
Yes.
And then like Keith just like stops Swerve from falling and then like shoves him over and then takes it himself. I thought that was cool. It's a nice little thing.
Good match. Good match. Simple match. It wasn't. I think the argument could be made that it could have main evented a big Dynamite show.
Yeah.
But that being said, they did it the way they did it. And the show went off the air at 11:55 p.m. Eastern. So it was a 4-hour show. It didn't feel as long as it has in the past, which I appreciated. It was still a long ass show.
Very good. Like it was just,
but it was a good show. Yeah. Let's get to the main event. John Moxley drops his AEW championship to Maxwell Jacob Fuckboy.
Yeah, it was funny.
Comes out, he's doing the Jersey, you love me, and then he's motorboating a woman. Got consent. He did ask. The woman said that he
may I motorboat thee?
Pretty much. Like, can I? And she was like, all right. I'm sure his fiance was over the moon about that.
Yeah, very thrilled. She'll do a painting of it. It's okay.
I'm so glad you know that. I'm so glad you know that. And then he comes out, and while Mox is doing the intro, he does the jerk-off motion. I'm just like, you are the consummate frat boy right now. I am such a fan.
And it's over is what I don't get. Like, why is he the face?
Because it's Jersey.
Oh, yep. As I said, y'all trash. You made it very clear.
The reason he's over, though, is because he's charismatic in being that piece of shit.
I know, but, well, yeah, I guess. The Conor McGregor thing, like.
Exactly. And there are people who love the man to the ends of the earth, even though he is a giant piece of shit. Because he's charismatic and because he's someone that everyone's like, oh, I wish I could be like that. And I mean, I don't wish I could be like the MJF character that we just
could be like the MJF character, and I choose not to be.
That's I think most people would feel that way. But there are some people who think that, you know, you need to act a certain way to get over in your real life.
Yeah.
That being said, the match itself, it was fine. It was good. It was a main event AEW match. It was what it was. We were all just kind of waiting. It was either the firm was going to show up or Regal was going to show up.
Yeah.
I said this last week or about Dynamite this past week. They did the firm beatdown by MJF where he did a very comical beatdown. And I was like, so the firm is probably going to reestablish themselves with Max. That's fine. And then people are just like, oh, but the Regal turn is going to be huge. And I'm like, it's not going to be huge because everyone's expecting it. It's not to me, a big swerve doesn't happen when everyone's screaming it from the rooftops.
Yeah, it loses its impact. It's a shame that there's so much of that. Like people can't be ignorant or like put it together themselves. Like it's just, there's so much commentary about it. Hence, we're part of the problem. We're talking about it right now. But like, it's we're just very funny.
Idiots, so it's fine.
I barely pay attention, so.
Yeah, we're just here talking to each other and chat. Yeah, you're here too. Thank you. It's good to see you. But I don't love it. And this is the other part of it that kind of drives me insane is that when people get so obsessed with their fantasy booking or with their theories that when it comes true or when it doesn't come true, it completely affects how they feel about wrestling and the product and storytelling in general.
Yeah.
So. You saw last night when Regal dropped the Nux, everyone went absolutely apeshit because they were like, oh, the thing we thought was going to happen is happening. And I'm that's a weird thing to
that's like, these people must love M. Night Shyamalan movies is all I'm saying. Like they're there opening night every time, just popcorn in hand. Like,
They watched The Mist.
Expectations. Yeah.
They watched the final scene of The Mist where they had the gun. and the car, and they were just like, oh yeah, the last guy's gonna get out of the car and find out that the help is here and he's gonna be fine. Yeah. And then when he opens the door to the car and he sees all the sweeping, you know, the hazmat units sweeping through, it was probably just like the theater just erupts in cheers.
Yeah, just like, yeah,
everyone's dead but him. We knew it.
We're so smart.
I don't know why that's the M. Night Shyamalan movie that I go to, but it's
one of the worst.
I know, that's the best part.
Yeah, I don't know. What I like the Nux thing. I thought there's like, no. Don't use the ring. Use these instead. Like, I thought that was charming. That was funny.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
But like, what did Mox do? What did Mox do to Regal?
I'm sure Regal's gonna come up with something, and it'll be a 15-minute story promo
there that makes sense. Because like,
be like, I like Max. He now is his time. He's the guy.
So is the Blackpool Combat Club dead, or is Max a part of it?
I mean,
because listen, by their rules, it seems like he might just be a part of it now.
That would be hilarious.
That would be funny. He would steamroll them all. They'd all hate his guts. It'd be funny. You could do something with that. Just saying.
The Maxwell Combat Club.
Yeah, and just like, Regal's there and he's the only one in the Blackpool Combat Club that wants MJF there, and MJF is there just making enemies. Sounds fun. Good to do.
Can you guys hear the train passing by in the background, by the way?
Faintly, very faintly.
I'm on the 17th floor and I can hear this stupid train. Oh, whatever. I like this place.
Sky train.
Sky trains. No, it's on the ground. I don't know what's going on. It's actually a very big train. That's right. I'll show it to you later. Anyway, I don't think you want to see
it. I don't really care.
My kid likes to watch the trains now.
Yeah, it's I'm not a baby, so.
I don't know about that. Mm. So anyway, MJF is the champion. People were cheering. How do you feel about MJF as champion? Mox now gets to go fishing. Shinsuke Nakamura gets to surf, so Mox gets to go fishing. How do you feel about MJF as champ?
I like new blood in the championship picture, but his booking is now confusing to me, and I don't know who he faces, what the stories are going to be, if there's any. Like, at this point it feels like it's just gonna be matchups in various hometowns to make people confusingly popular or unpopular. Like, it's just, there's no story at all. Like, it's like the story that being told is kind of weak in my mind, and like, MJF is so talented, I think there's more, but I don't like the prospect of MJF as a face at all. Like,
oh, he's not
a little bit. Yeah, he's exactly not. Like, so I don't know, like, I'm glad that you had Eddie Kingston being like, oh, you're cheering him, but he's still a piece of shit. Like,
yeah,
that is refreshing. So just please remind everyone that MJF is a piece of shit every week. Like, that's all I need to see for a bit. Like,
I think part of the reason why they put Regal with MJF is because Regal probably said to Tony, like, I will make him a heel.
Yeah, like, I can reestablish this, because it's like, there's so many, like, again, it comes down to this AEW audience just being full of assholes who dress up like the Joker. Like, it's just, there's too much of that in the audience. There's no children there, really. Like, there are children there,
yeah,
but like,
few.
There are fewer than like WWE, which is fine. Like, again, I don't think pro wrestling is best suited when it's targeted at children. I think it's better when it's targeted at like teenagers, young adults, etc.
Right.
Unfortunately,
who will buy the toys?
Yeah, well, teenagers and young adults who are lame.
That's
or adults at this point. There's lots of collectors.
It's true.
I don't know. Like, because here's the thing. If it's targeted at those people, some children will still get to watch it, etc. And like, I don't know. I started watching when I was like 12. So I still bought the toys.
So I don't know if you saw this. You probably didn't. New Japan at Wrestle Kingdom this year, they're going to have Kenny Omega challenge Will Ospreay for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship. They announced that last night. That's one reason why I don't think the trios thing is going to go 7.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's starting to give credence to FTR versus the Young Bucks at Wrestle Kingdom this year.
Yeah.
At which point I'm just like, well, that's New Japan AEW show. I don't know. Like, I don't really want FTR versus the Bucks for the IWGP tag titles. But it's a way they can go if the entire Elite shows up at Wrestle Kingdom this year.
I feel like FTR is going to start dropping those belts. Like, these promotions,
they need to.
These promotions must feel a little bit like kind of strung up on it, right? Because they can't keep doing this.
I don't know if they do.
It's so yeah. I mean, the trade-off is they get FTR, which is excellent. It's like, just and, like,
and FTR comes out for the main shows. Like they'll do the AAA shows, they'll do the Ring of Honor shows, they'll do the New Japan shows. That's not the problem. It's just that it's hard to factor them in.
It's true. It's fair. Like, yeah, there's so many belts. If we have to, if they're like the promotion of all of the indies, this gets so complicated.
Just wait until Sammy and Tay start defending their AAA mixed tag team championships again.
Oh, they still have those, eh?
They still have. Oh, do they? They may have dropped them actually at Triple Mania. I don't remember anymore. I feel like they still have them. Yeah, I don't know. A Lucha person in the crowd's probably going to tell
someone us. Someone will correct you.
Exactly. So MJF is the new AEW champion. It feels like they're kind of course correcting a little bit from the last few months. It feels
fair.
Like Moxley's totally, going to have some time off, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
And Regal and MJF is an interesting proposition. I enjoyed the pay-per-view overall.
I loved it. I actually thought this was like a real nice return to form. Like I really dug this pay-per-view. Like I enjoyed all of it.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. The build in a lot of ways was still not great.
Yeah.
But I'm willing, now that we're in a full pay-per-view cycle starting this Wednesday, I am more interested than I have been in the last 8 months.
Yeah. So it feels like they have some ideas now. There's some places to go with things. They just need to kind of do it. The biggest impediment in my mind is the Ring of Honor merger. Like they need to just separate things, break apart the roster, because it's just too much chaos for me right now. But
a lot of people are hoping that by Final Battle, which is December 10th or 11th, the beginning of December, they're gonna have an answer for that
TV situation. So.
And they need it. They really need to figure out what that's gonna
desperately
look like.
Yeah,
you want to talk WWE in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, and run through. I know what happened on SmackDown, so there's that. It looked good. Kevin Owens is back. Very excited. War Games feels like a hell of, like, Survivor Series feels very Triple H, but like not the good bits of Triple H to me. Like it's
Are you looking forward to that War Games match?
The match, yes. Don't think the story has been very good. Not really thrilled about it. It feels like it was booked for the matches. Like this pay-per-view is definitely like, we need to make these matches happen, and we're not gonna really explain a good reason why. Like they have reasons, but they're not compelling to me for whatever reason. The Brawling Brutes seem like a strange foil against the Bloodline, because I don't really get their major beef aside from we lost the tag title match. Like
they lost a tag title match. They want those tag titles.
Yeah, but getting them in a 5-man cage match is not going to do it. Like, that's not how it works.
They're just all angry at Solo Sikoa. Nobody else.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. Make that the story. Make them just beating the piss out of Solo Sikoa for 20 minutes in the match.
It's an interesting pay-per-view coming up with Survivor Series and War Games. I almost called it Fall Brawl because I remember Fall Brawl War Games for WCW. It's gonna be a strange show.
It's sooner than I thought too. I didn't even realize
it's like, next week. It's next Saturday.
Like
so next week we're gonna be here again and we're gonna be talking about War Games and we're gonna hopefully be enjoying it as much as we enjoyed Full Hopefully, gear, yeah, but we'll see. Who do you think the fifth woman is for Team Bianca Belair?
Okay, so right now it's Bianca, Mia Yim, and then Asuka and Alexa, right?
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair.
So at the same time, I mean, that would be a pretty good way to bring her back. It would be confusing as all hell.
Yeah, it would be very confusing.
That being said, I wouldn't be against it. However,
no, if she has a new character,
she has to have a new character. I have a feeling it's going to be something ridiculous. Like it's going to be like Dana Brooke. If this were Vince McMahon's WWE, it would have been Dana Brooke. But and it would have been because of the whole 24/7 title thing. She's got to avenge her loss.
I think she is a capable wrestler.
Like she's fine. But that being said, I mean, Candice LeRae returning as the fifth woman, they can. If they show that on Monday, great. If they don't and they make it a big surprise, oh, that's not going to look good. Because as good as Candace is, she's not as popular with the crowd yet.
Yeah. Because there's no reason for her to be like...
No. Brought her back in Edmonton.
What were you doing? Yeah, they don't care.
It's I don't know. There's a lot going on, but they gotta round out the card this week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I honestly feels like Candice LeRae is the fifth.
It makes the most sense.
Yeah, they'd have to treat it like they did this week with Kevin Owens, though. Like on TV, like you can tease not telling him, but like eventually get it out before that show ends because it's not a night of thing.
No, God, no. Again, she's not. If you could do that with Charlotte Flair, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
With Candice LeRae. I'm trying to think like who else would work. I know there's the whole Sasha Naomi stuff. If at one point Mia Yim is in the back knocked out, then Sasha Naomi coming back would be great.
That would be great. Yeah. It's a shame for Mia Yim, but
yeah. Well, you hope that they do something out of that.
Yeah, for sure. And like whatever, doing that as your like first major thing back, probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Although she hasn't lost a beat, she did Impact for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She actually had a great showing in Impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had great matches there. And we're going to find out, right, hopefully as early as Monday, who the fifth woman is for that War Games match. We'll see. There's plenty of time left. There's a week of build. There's 5 hours of TV. Oh, my God, there's 5 hours of TV. Plus
always,
NXT.
Always.
Is there anything else we got to talk about?
Stuff happened. LA Knight, Bray Wyatt.
Still
very interested in that.
I got
LA Knight making some questionable decisions, slapping Bray Wyatt.
What, you would do the same?
I would, yeah, because I feel like he's slow and I could outrun him.
What do you think Austin Theory's next step is now that he's shown a new attitude?
Grizzled young veteran Austin Theory.
He's gonna steal everyone's wallets.
Yeah.
Oh, NXT that's 2.0 lives.
Mighty have fallen.
No, they're fine. They've got the
Rock's daughter. No, they're not. They're creepy.
They're great. They got the Rock's
daughter. Oh, they do have the Rock's daughter. That is a vote of confidence. Yeah.
They are absolutely Teflon.
All right. They're good.
They got three of the best trainers working with that woman. It's great. I love Joe Gacy. I see him every morning in the mirror.
Yeah. Fair.
All right. Let's get out of here before we have to actually talk about NXT. Yeah. Tim, where can the people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Tim Stone, TimStonep, Twitter, Instagram. Check out my band. I got music stuff too. Tim Knox Music, TimNox Music, Instagram, not on Twitter.
No one's on Twitter. Twitter's dead.
Band's Baby's First Pistol. There you go. Think about
That's the name of the band, by the way.
That's the name of the band, Baby's First Pistol.
That's a weird, weird thing to call it.
Think about
Big fan. Big fan. We're dropping content every day here at Fightful Overbooked, here at FightfulOverbooked.com. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers. Oh, go enjoy Sunday, I guess.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.